for a lot of men, they've lived the majority of their life in a state of denial, I suppose, about things that have happened to them. They just try to ignore them, bury them, and get on with their life without fully processing them. And it's only when they reach that crisis point, you know, it might be a suicide attempt, it might be a marriage breakdown, it might be that they've lost the job, it might be that they're no longer seeing the children, or something along those lines, that they then start backtracking and try to figure out what it is that led them to that point.
Hello, and welcome to Locked Up Living, the podcast which looks at resilience in challenging organisations, such as, but not only, prisons and hospitals for mentally ill prisoners and patients. My name is David Jones, and together with Naomi Murphy, I present your Locked Up Living podcast. I first came across Andy's Man Club when visiting an approved premises for men released from prison. This was in the north of England. I was very impressed with the way that it was organised and led by people who had actual experience rather than the staff of the hostel. So today we're meeting with Oliver Vixey, Project Development Champion of Andy's Man Club, to hear more about it. Hi, good to meet you, Ollie.
Hi, David. How are you doing? You okay?
Yep, good.
Hi, Ollie. Good to have you on today. Can you tell us what Andy's Man Club is and how and when it started and how you got involved with it?
Andy's Man Club is a men's mental health and suicide prevention charity. We were founded back in 2016 following the death of a young man called Andy Roberts, who unfortunately took his own life at the age of 23. Now, at that time, there weren't any other groups like Andy's Man Club around, especially not in the north of England, in Halifax, where we were from. And Luke Ambler, who was Andy's brother-in-law, he wanted to set up something where guys could go and talk and get stuff off the chest in the hopes that it could prevent other families from going through the same tragedy that he'd suffered, but also that if Andy had somewhere where he could have gone, that he might still be with us today. So I got involved right at the very beginning. I was actually in attendance at the first session. So following some posts that Luke had put out on social media, it received an overwhelming response from the community about the need to set up these groups. And the very first session, there were 9 lads in attendance, which from a staunch northern town where I'm from, where guys don't often talk about the problems, we have a very sort of chin up, chest out mentality towards mental health, sort of just brush your feelings to one side and get on with your day. So for 9 men to attend that first session was phenomenal. It just showed the clear need for the work in these groups within the community. Now, from there, over the last 5 years, we've grown rapidly. We've now got 69 groups across the UK. And this week, last night at our sessions, we had 1,236 men in attendance, and 193 of those had never been to Andy's Man Club before. So the reach that we've now got is massive. It's growing month on month, week on week. The numbers keep growing. We're opening more clubs and trying to reach out to more men than ever. I've got a personal aim of having an Andy's Man Club within half an hour drive of everywhere in the UK. But alongside the face-to-face meetings, we've also got online meetings. So anybody in the UK can join the online meetings and just provide that network to as many men as possible.
Some really impressive statistics there, actually, in terms of reaching out to people in that way. I mean, 4,000 men kill themselves every year, don't they? So we're talking about a big need anyway to be able to enable men to talk. But obviously it sounds like you've found a format and formula that works for people, that makes it is accessible to men.
Absolutely. I mean, the initial idea that Luke came up with was just to have a coffee group for guys. Now that sounds like quite a simple concept, but as we know, it's the simple concepts that tend to go the distance and really make a difference. Now, the ethos of Andy's Man Club is it's a space where any man to come down. They don't have to have had a mental health condition. They don't have to have had suicidal thoughts. It might just be that they've had a rubbish week. They want somewhere to go, talk to like-minded men and get stuff off the chest. I've seen the benefit of myself over the last 5 years, and I've seen thousands of men walk through the door. And the change in the guys that have attended is notable. You know, it's not just within their own mental health, but physical changes within the body language and things like that. And I've seen, you know, families healed and guys saving the jobs and all sorts as a result of finding that place where they can come and talk and open up and not bottle things up anymore.
And you mentioned the that kind of like strong, staunch, northern, manly mindset, if you like, of chin up, chest out sort of thing. Do you think there's a more of a need for these kind of groups in the north? I mean, I noticed that the figures, statistics for, you know, if we're taking suicide as an indicator of distress, for instance, I noticed that in the northeast, that's an area of the country that's significantly impacted by suicide. But I wonder if, do you think there's a kind of like northern culture divide?
To an extent, I think there is, but at the same time, there are the guys sort of in the south. We've been opening a lot of groups down there as well recently, and they're just as well received. I think it's a very British thing that men don't talk about the problems, and we've got sort of lots of stigmas around men's mental health. That a man's supposed to be the head of the family, is supposed to be strong and be able to deal with these sorts of things. But I found myself that it takes even more courage. It takes even more bravery to be able to open up and to be able to talk about these things and deal with them rather than just bottling everything up and acting as if everything's okay.
Absolutely. I think one of a male colleague of mine is sort of fond of saying, if you don't acknowledge your vulnerability, then you can't actually be, if you can't acknowledge being scared, then you can't be brave, can you? And I think it takes something to be able to talk about events that make you feel alone or sad or ashamed or any of these sorts of things. And although I've kind of like keep quoting the suicide figures, I suppose I do want to emphasize that your point that it isn't just for people who feel suicidal, but it is about just enabling men to have connections and communicate in an open way about their feelings more generally.
Absolutely. It's more preventative. We're not run by trained professionals. All of the guys that run our groups are guys who've walked through the doors of an Andy's Man Club looking for support, and they've gone a little bit further down the journey, and now they want to open the doors to other men coming through and give back to the organisation, which is sort of the core principles of Andy's Man Club, really. But when a new person walks through the door, they're met with their empathy, compassion and understanding of somebody who's been in their shoes, of somebody who knows what it is to suffer with depression or mental or unwellness. And don't get me wrong, all the guys are trained. They're trained on how to run those sessions and how to deal with any sort of crisis that might come up during those sessions. But we also work hand in hand with other organisations, more professional organisations, to make sure that we can provide that full blanket of support to those guys that need a little bit more than the talking therapy that we can offer.
Thank you. And obviously it's named Andy's Man Club because it's named after Andy Roberts. Could you tell us something about what Andy was like? Did you know Andy yourself?
I didn't know him personally, but I've known Luke throughout most of my life through playing rugby together and things like that. But from the stories that I've heard about Andy, he was a reformed man. He was in quite a lot of trouble as a youngster, as a teenager. He got himself in quite a bit of bother, but in sort of his early 20s, the years leading up to his death, he'd turned his life around. He'd got himself into work. He'd had a daughter, and he was well and truly on the right track. So when he did take his own life, it took everybody by surprise. Nobody was expecting it, and I think that's one of the most difficult things to deal with. Luke's worked within mental health for a long time, and if there were any signs, it had definitely picked up on it. There was no indication. He was always sort of the life and soul of the party, but that tends to be the case. Guys who are, the laughers and the jokers tend to be the ones who are hurting the most inside, but they don't let it show because they're worried about how it might come across, or they don't want to burden other people with the problems. They just want to try and make people smile.
Thank you. And you mentioned earlier that your own kind of like personal mission was to want for there to be an Andy's Man Club within sort of like half an hour drive of everybody. How widespread a problem do you think it is that men don't have somebody to talk to?
I think it's on a national level. I don't think that it's that we don't have people to talk to. There are lots of men that attend Andy's Man Club that are from, a loving family home, that they've got the support there, but for some reason they don't talk to the partners, the parents, whoever it might be, whether that's because they feel that they'll burden them and they don't want to pass on that burden, or whether it's because then you know, I always go back to my own relationship with my mum. If I tell my mum a problem, she'll try and fix it immediately. And then she'll keep asking me almost on a daily basis if I've taken her advice and taken those steps. But with Andy's Man Club, it's you talk about it on a Monday evening, and then you don't have to revisit it in the morning. It's not there when you wake up. It's not staring you in the face, asking you loads of questions. You don't have to revisit until the next week, and the next week it's a completely blank slate, and you can go again and invent anything from the week. But I think the problem is more cultural. I don't think that it's men that are unsupported or don't have anybody to talk to. I think it's a choice within men that we choose not to talk to friends, family, loved ones about these problems. And I think that goes back to the stigmas around how a man should appear, how a man should act. But there's also sort of a man that don't want to appear weak as a result of talking. Or in the case of, you know, lad culture and that sort of things, guys are worried that it's going to come back and bite them in the backside if they do give any vulnerability away, that next time they're having a laugh or a joke, then it's going to be used as ammunition against them. So to have somewhere to go that's confidential and non-judgmental, supported by other like-minded individuals, I think is paramount, and I think it's the way forward, really. I know, again, from my own personal experience, this stuff that I talk about at Andy's Man Club that I wouldn't share even now with my friends and family and things like that, but having that safe place to go on a Monday evening, I know that whatever happens during the week, I've got somewhere that I can go and unload and deal with those in the correct way.
How many years have you been involved with Andy's Man Club, Ollie, did you say?
I was actually in attendance at the very first session back in 2016. So I attended the sessions as I was in a low point in my life myself. But from there, through talking and through dealing with these issues that I'd just been bottling up for such a long time, not speaking to anybody about, I got myself into a better position. I got myself back into work because I was off sick at the time due to my mental health. And from there, I went on to volunteer for Andy's Man Club, facilitating our flagship group here in Halifax. And then in September of last year, I took on full-time employment working for Andy's Man Club. So now it's something that I've been doing as a passion in my spare time alongside my full-time job. And now it's something that I get to do day in, day out. And it's absolutely fantastic.
It sounds as well as if, you know, you're a good advert for how being able to talk isn't just about being in crisis, but is actually a feature of having good mental health, that actually being able to talk in a regular way with like-minded people is something that is essential to us as human beings.
Absolutely. So at the start of every Andy's Man Club session, we ask the guys to give us the name and a positive reason why they're attending. Now, my positive reason is always the same every week. It's a good habit. To just have somewhere to go and be able to openly talk, completely be yourself in all honesty, and be true to yourself and not have anything sort of buried deep within you, not have that burden of the weight of all anything that you're keeping to yourself. But, you know, we've got a lot of bad habits as human beings. I know that I do, and it's a positive thing that I can do week in, week out, and it really has had a massive impact on my life.
And I just wondered if you could say something about whether the gender dynamic's important in terms, because obviously a lot of formal mental health service providers are women, and you know I have worked mainly with men throughout my career, but it does seem that men often carry a burden of not, you know, feel responsible for taking care of others, protecting others, and therefore not wanting to expose their vulnerability for fear of creating more burden. And I wonder whether the fact it is all men together perhaps makes it possible to have conversations in a way that wouldn't be possible if you were talking to female therapists or what have you.
Absolutely, yeah. So the statistics speak for themselves. You mentioned, you know, the stats around suicide earlier, but 75% of all suicides in the UK are men. Suicide is the biggest killer of men under the age of 50. It's also true that men behave differently around women. So to have a group where it is just men, they don't have those other social pressures they don't have the bravado that they might have around women in the usual circumstances, scenarios. It's just men just being their natural selves, their the most raw version of themselves, without that wall up, without that suit of armor on, without trying to protect themselves from anything or anything like that. Just being completely open and honest, without fear of judgment.
Thank you.
Ollie, you mentioned earlier that Andy had had a kind of troubled youth, to put it like that. And, well, both Naomi and I have worked a lot in the criminal justice sector, and I've often thought that young men who have had difficulties in early youth have often had a kind of underlying unhappiness and desperation. Do you think that has that been your experience as well, do you think?
You mean personally or
not necessarily personally, but in the work that you do?
I think as men, especially prevalent in middle-aged men, where they've had some sort of trauma in their life that they've suppressed, and they've suppressed for a long time. And I always use the analogy of a glass of water. You can only fit so much water into the glass before it starts spilling over. Now, if that glass is already full with sort of childhood trauma and things that have happened in adolescent years, it doesn't leave very much room at the top for all those other things that happen on a day-to-day basis. Now, obviously, people's tolerance levels are different, people's experiences are different, but I found that it's middle-aged men, when they reach that crisis point where that glass is full and it's overflowing constantly because of all the things that they've not dealt with, and it can take us a long time to even admit to these things to ourselves before we start that process of healing and dealing with them. So for a lot of men, they've lived the majority of their life in a state of denial, I suppose, about things that have happened to them. They just try to ignore them, bury them, and get on with their life without fully processing them. And it's only when they reach that crisis point of, you know, it might be a suicide attempt, it might be a marriage breakdown, it might be that they've lost the job, it might be that they're no longer seeing the children or something along those lines, that they then start backtracking and try to figure out what it is that led them to that point. And we see a lot of those guys at Andy's Man Club that are trying to work through those issues that have happened, you know, many, many years ago, but they've never addressed them, they've never dealt with them, sometimes they've never even spoken about them before. But the power of talking, just getting these thoughts out of your head, because, you know, when you're speaking, obviously, it slows everything down. When things are just going around in your head, everything goes around at a million miles an hour. There's too many thoughts to be able to start to process them. But when you start talking about them, it slows everything down. And then if you've got the correct audience as well, guys that are there to listen and empathise, and, you know, some of them might have been through a similar situation themselves, then that really helps to that process of healing, to put those thoughts into some sort of order, and to understand the logic and reason, and understand that anything that might have happened as a child or in those adolescent years isn't something that you should be blaming yourself for in your 20s, 30s and 40s. So there's a level of forgiveness that needs to take place there as well, whether that's forgiving yourself or forgiving somebody else.
Thanks, Ollie. You've given some tremendous descriptions of the process already, but I'm wondering if you could tell us exactly how it works. I mean, for example, do you go to the same group every week? Are there the same people there? How does it actually work?
Well, before I started working for Andy's Man Club, I went to the same group every week, and I did that for about 4 years. Now, some guys come down just for one or two sessions, and they feel like that's enough. They've sort of emptied the glass, if you like, and they've got plenty of room for it to fill back up again. We've got other guys who've been coming week in, week out religiously for a number of years, and they like me, believe it's a good habit, a good practice to be in, to sort of reset for the week, wipe the slate clean, and keep yourself in a position of mental wellness. As it stands at the moment, as part of my job, I visit all the different groups. Part of my role is looking after the existing groups that we've got and setting up new clubs. So last night I was in Barnsley because we opened a new group in Barnsley last night, and there were 30 lads there in attendance at the very first session, which just shows the need for the group there, for it to be so well attended on its first night. And there was no sort of need to grow into that or anything like that. It wasn't a slow burner. It just those guys needed that support, and it was such a powerful evening. All those guys in the same boat, having not attended Andy's Man Club before, they were all new to the club. They didn't know what to expect when they got there, but neither did anybody else. So they were all really open, really honest. And by the end of the session, they were all laughing and joking and had great smiles on their faces. And I can't wait to see them all again next week.
That's extraordinary. How did you manage to attract those 30-odd people there for the first evening?
Well, we've for a long time been getting a lot of emails through about setting up a club in Barnsley, and it's something that we've been working towards. We've just been trying to find a suitable venue where we could host enough people. So we've now got a venue right slap bang in the centre of Barnsley at the library. Social media promotions. I've done things on Sheffield Radio this week. I did a stall in the centre of Barnsley just to raise awareness and speak to people in the street and just talk to people one-on-one, because you can't beat that sort of connection. The amount of stuff that we can do on, you know, local newspaper, social media, whatever it might be, but you can't beat that personal interaction where you're actually speaking to somebody in the street and they realise what it is you're doing and you have those brilliant conversations. But it's part of a process we have for opening a new club, is that we give it a month's promotion before we open it. So we do the social media launch and things like that 30 days before and let people know that it's coming. But Barnsley was in quite a unique situation because we've got groups all across South Yorkshire, and sort of Barnsley was the last major town in South Yorkshire where we didn't have one. So we already had quite a large presence across South Yorkshire. We've had groups out there for a couple of years now. So we've been working on that area for a long time. So I think it was the perfect storm, if you like. People in the area already knew who we were, and they were just waiting for the group to arrive.
What happens for, I'm just thinking about any new people who haven't been to one before, who might be quite intrigued by it and might think about coming along, but might perhaps feel a bit anxious or shy about going there. What happens for new people when they turn up at a place? Are they quickly welcomed? You know, how do people find their feet there?
They're most definitely a very warm welcome. So all of the facilitators, all of the guys in the room, have all been in that position where they've been that one man that's walking through the door. They understand that it's a difficult step to make. For some, it's probably the most difficult step that they have ever made, because it's that first step towards receiving help, in which in doing so they have to admit that there's a problem in the first place. But we have guys stood outside to welcome people in, to show them where to go. We'll invite them in and get a brew and start that conversation before the meeting even starts. Just make sure that they understand that it's a relaxed and informal environment, that they don't have to say anything if they don't want to. They can just sit and listen. But yeah, I think that the most important part is getting them through the door and getting them in and getting them a brew. Because, you know, well, we're British at the end of the day. There's not much that can't be resolved with that kind of thing.
How long do meetings usually last? Is there a kind of fixed time?
Yeah, so all of our meetings run from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. and they run every Monday apart from bank holidays. And so it's the same time every week across every location that we've got. The idea being that if there was a guy from Halifax who was on the road and he was in Southend and he knew there was a club there, he could just pop in there on a Monday evening. And the format should be exactly the same in every single club. So there's a set of questions that we go through. The first three are the same every single week. It's, how's your week been? What's been one positive from your week? And is there anything you'd like to get off your chest? So they're really, really open questions. The first two are basically to introduce people to the idea of talking. They're not difficult questions to answer, just to get the conversation flowing. And then the third one is the one that unlocks a lot of guys, gives them the opportunity to talk openly about anything that might be bothering them. And then the last couple of questions change every week, and they're a little bit more lighthearted, I suppose. Some of them are, you know, goal-setting questions or reflection questions. But it could be something like, what's your favourite album, or what's the best dad joke you've ever heard, or something like that, just to sort of ground the guys after those big shares on question three, and allow them to reflect a little bit and go away leaving with a smile on their face, having had a laugh with the lads as well.
Thanks, Ollie. I mentioned earlier that I'd come across Andy's Man Group, Andy's Man Club, in an approved premises up in the north of England, which is quite a difficult setting because obviously there's a fairly rapid turnover of men in approved premises. Do you have other clubs either in approved premises or in any of the men's prisons?
So we did have clubs within prisons. There was one over in Humberside and there was one up in Perth. But found due to the high turnover of sort of governing agents within prisons, it was hard to sustain. You know, the whilst the staff might be quite engaged in it, the board and things like that have got different ideas. And you know, everybody's got different ideas about what works and what doesn't work. Guys like to come in and change things up, and it was difficult to manage and carry on that relationship with them when there was such high turnover. But particularly the one in Humberside Prison was very well attended. I believe there was often in excess of 50, 60 guys attending those groups. I think they actually started running them on multiple days of the week.
Well, that's interesting because I mean, there's certainly a tremendous need inside our secure establishments. But the kind of issue you've just mentioned is quite familiar to us as well, you know, the turnover in managers and management structure, which makes it difficult to sustain things.
Yeah.
Great. So you mentioned earlier on that Andy's brother-in-law was very involved in beginning Andy's Man Club. I mean, clearly a suicide in the family must have a devastating effect. Can you say a bit about that?
I've actually just heard Luke talking about it on a different meeting that he's on at the moment, and I think his exact words were, it's not something that you ever move on from. It's just something that you learn to live with. Now, I've watched this organisation grow from its infancy, and the legacy that has been built for Andy is absolutely phenomenal. But I know in a heartbeat that if Luke could trade all of that to have Andy back, then he most definitely would do. It's not something I said that you ever heal from. It's just something that you learn to live with.
Yeah, it can have an absolutely devastating effect upon family.
I believe that the ripple effect when somebody takes a life, it apparently affects on average 130 people when somebody takes their own life, and there's, you know, over 4,500 men a year taking their own lives. That's an enormous ripple effect.
Yeah, indeed.
It certainly is. And I think, you know, it's a brilliant initiative in terms of encouraging men to be talking. Are there any running in schools? I'm just thinking that obviously the earlier people learn to have real, you know, conversations about things that really matter. Are there any in schools? Any plans to have them in schools, encourage boys to start having conversations?
It's something that we've discussed on a number of occasions, you know, having sort of Andy's Boys Clubs or something along those lines. But we want to make sure that we've completely cracked the audience that we're trying to reach out to. So, you know, once we've achieved that goal of having an Andy's Man Club networked nationwide, once we've filled in all the gaps, then we can look at branching out into other areas, but we don't want to dilute anything at this stage. We want to make sure that our focus is firmly on the task at hand and make sure we've got that one completely covered before we move on to anything else.
Great. So how do you manage for funding?
As it stands, we're completely donation-led. So a lot of those donations come from guys that have attended the groups and they've realised the impact that it's had on them and the family, and they want to give something back, so they go out and do, you know, whether it's the Three Peaks Challenge or something along those lines, you know, local fundraisers, that sort of thing. But a lot of the funding also comes from funerals of people who lost a loved one to suicide, and they want to again, raise money to prevent other families from going through the tragedies that they've experienced themselves.
Thank you very much. And how do people contact you? Is it best just to go to your website or how?
There is lots of information on the website. There's a full list of where all of our clubs are on there as well. If anybody wants any more information, they can email us on info@andysmanclub.co.uk. And also on our YouTube channel, there's all of our production videos and a whole series of podcasts on there as well, if anybody wants to check those out.
Great. Well, thanks very much indeed, Ollie. It's been a real pleasure hearing the work that you do and about how the organisation has grown in really what's quite a short period of time, about 5 years.
Yeah, thanks very much. Really good to meet you and be able to hear about this.
Thank you for having me. It's always important and wonderful to be able to reach a wider audience and shout out about the work that we're doing. But not only that, but the importance of talking as well, of making sure that guys know and understand the impact of not talking and bottling things up, and really encouraging guys to open up and share those problems. Thank you.
Thank you. Really good to have that conversation. I think really nice to do something special for International Men's Day. I know every year on social media you get people tweeting or commenting that we don't need an International Men's Day because International Men's Day is every day of the year. But of course that doesn't take into account the fact that an awful lot of men are not white and not privileged. And I think good to be shining a spotlight on some of the work that's being done for people that aren't in that privilege.
Yeah, I agree. And it was really good of Ollie to come on today and to talk about Andy's Man Club. It's remarkable how it's developed in such a short period of time in an area of the country that both struggles talking about deeply personal things relating to men and men's issues.
Yeah, I can't say I'm entirely surprised. I spoke to somebody recently who'd written a book on the male midlife crisis, and as part of his book, he'd done a survey of how many close friends men in their 40s felt they had, met relationships where they felt they could talk openly and honestly about their emotions, and the vast majority of men said they didn't have a single friend that they could do this with. So, you know, it's not surprising really, and really great to hear that somebody's taken action to try and do something about that.
Many thanks again to all of you who have listened to our Locked Up Living podcast. Feel free to mention this to your friends and to your colleagues, and give us feedback on our webpage lockeduplives.com and our Twitter account Locked Up Living. Many thanks too to Pete and Rach, who kindly allowed us to use their music, You Have Called Me Courage, and this is available from all the usual outlets.